This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We taped Discover Lafayette at Raider's headquarters in the Oil Center of Lafayette. Raider is a managed IT service provider that offers world-class service, including cybersecurity, communications, and technology support. With Raider, you have just one vendor and one number to call, allowing you to concentrate on what is most important, your business. For more information, visit RaiderSolutions.com. And while we're talking about Raider, many thanks to Jason Sikora of Raider, who records and mixes our sound, ensuring a professional podcast production. The generosity of Ochsner Lafayette General makes this podcast possible. Ochsner Lafayette General understands that each patient is unique, and so is your path to good health, from the miracle of childbirth to the mending of broken bones or the journey through cancer. Ochsner's physician and care teams provide access to more than 90 specialties and an ever-expanding list of convenient locations right here in Acadiana. With Ochsner Lafayette General, you're cared for through every stage of life, and healing isn't just a destination. It's a journey we walk together. For more information, visit ochsner.org/Lafayette. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lafayette-based ViMed. In addition to its national prominence in post-acute respiratory care and sleep therapy, ViMed's sister company, ViMed Healthcare Staffing, otherwise known as VHS, can assist any clinician listeners out there searching for a new career opportunity. Visit ViMed.com to learn more about how their staffing services benefit both medical professionals and hospital systems. Karen Crow Mayor Charlotte Stemmons Clavier is our guest today. A lifelong resident of Karen Crow, Charlotte graduated from Karen Crow High and went on to graduate 3 years later from Tulane University. She is president of Stemmons, Inc., the horse supply specialist on Glory Switch Road, and responsible for the day-to-day operations of the store. She still serves as an active notary public, assisting people when such a need arises. Charlotte previously served as mayor pro tem of the city from 1999 until 2003, before being elected mayor in November 2022. An incredibly hard worker, Charlotte never meets a stranger, and I'm honored to have her join us today to share her story. Charlotte, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes. I'm excited.
Yeah. So It's a beautiful day.
Yes.
Early April, and you are busy right now. There's so much going on in Karen Crow.
So much going on.
So I want you to cover the high points of what's going on in your city. But before we do that, can you give us more of a background about your life in Karen Crow and what led you to want to serve as mayor?
So when I was a little girl, both of my grandfathers were police jurors in Lafayette Parish. So my grandfather Pitt died when I was 5, and his brother Paul took over. So Paul Pitt served for a long, long time. But my grandfather Stemmons was Eddie Stemmons. And my grandfather... When we were little children, we were his grandchildren that were born when he was older. Mm-hmm. So he would bring one of us at a time to all the different things he would do. And, you know, this is back before open meetings laws and sunshine laws and all of those crazy things. But so they would have these meetings where the men would decide who was going to do whatever. And I was a little girl that was sitting on the ice chest that would go get him a beer. And after you watch this for a little while, you're like, I'm smarter than some of these people.
and you're like six years old.
And I'm like, I think I want to do this. You know, I like it. So I guess, you know, I've seen, you know, my grandfather was definitely a public servant, mm-hmm. but I've seen politics, the ugly side of it, the good side of it, all of the sides of it, from the time I was a child. So it was always something I was very interested in. I've always followed it, and I always knew I was going to run for something at some point. You know, mm-hmm. I always did enjoy it. When I was in college, the founder of the Alliance for Good Government, which was very, very strong in the 70s, 80s, and 90s in New Orleans, was founded by a guy named Jim Gelpie, And I worked for him in college. Mm-hmm. He didn't pay me, and I got to follow him around. And he was an attorney, and I loved what he did. I thought it was really cool, you know, all the things that he did. I didn't want to be one of his little lawyers who did paperwork all day long. He went to court, and I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
But so I was real involved in things with him, very much enjoyed what I did. And so I kind of always knew this was something I was going to do.
Right. You know? Right. So things have changed just for people that may not know. I was a Senate aide back when I was in law school in the early 80s. And I just remember the senators, they would just like, they knew what they were going to do. There was really no public discussion.
There was no discussion. The doors. Everything happened behind closed doors.
They were efficient.
It was, you know, and in some cases, maybe they do a better job than some of this. You know, I hate to say it, but sometimes maybe it is more efficient.
Well,
you know,
it was more nonpartisan from what I remember. It was good and bad.
Right, yeah. You know. I mean, you know, and in those days, everybody was a Democrat.
Right.
And then there were a few Republicans, so all the Republicans had at least two or three Democrat friends so they could get their stuff done. And that's kind of didn't seem to be as when you go to Baton Rouge now, there's actually people who are in office who don't talk to each other.
I know,
and
that's
regretful. Kind of stuff makes me crazy. You know, I'm like, I talk to everybody. Sometimes they don't want to talk to me, but they're stuck, you know.
So you were a small town girl exposed to politics. You know, what sent you off to Tulane? How did that happen?
So I went on a 4-H trip to Washington, D.C., and I thought I wanted to go to school up there. And came home, told that to my parents, and made my mama cry. So I had done well on my ACT and, you know, whatever. I was smart enough, I guess. And so my daddy called somebody, because in those days, that's how that worked. So
scholarship opportunities.
And so that's where I went to school in New Orleans, right there.
Each senator, Jason, we're here with Jason Sikora, each senator could give away a scholarship.
Yeah, each senator and representative, and still do. Too. And so Mr. La 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 Long gave me his scholarship.
Oh, I loved La La.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful man. But anyway, so I went to Tulane. And, you know, it was, I was taught to work as a child. I went to work when I was 11. I ran my first store when I was 12. So my idea of college was different than other people's ideas of college. You know, I arrived at college with another guy I went to high school with. I graduated in the audience. He was on stage, you know. But he didn't make it to Thanksgiving the first year. Tulane is very different than anything. Than anything you see at any of the other universities. It's very different. It's about actually understanding everything that in the scope of that class, you know. So, and I remember walking into a final, and there was one question, and it was the philosophy and history of natural sciences. And the question was, what do you know about the philosophy and history of natural sciences?
So you're just a free-for-all writing.
And a blue book, and you have to write and they teach you, you know, you do an outline, and the teacher grades on the outline, and then you start writing. And that's, I mean, that was the test. No true, false, multiple choice, all that other nonsense. That wasn't, it was all written, you know. It was a lot of writing, that kind of stuff. So it was very different than anything I'd ever done before.
So you could have gone to law school with that kind of training, you know, to learn how to think quickly and
to write.
Yeah,
I mean, I probably could have done almost anything, you know, but in those days there weren't very, at least that I saw, there weren't very many women who were doing the kind of law I would have wanted to do. I would have wanted to, you know, be in court and argue, because I like that part.
Yeah.
You know,
I really,
but that paperwork and all of that kind of stuff just wasn't my, that's not my gig. You know, it's just not my, I could do it, but it wasn't what I was in, what I enjoyed. You know, and then of course I come home and I work in an all male field again. So, you
pretty
know,
pretty much.
And that actually, you know, it's kind of a, I kind of laugh, because when I talk to people that are in the horse industry, and I grew up in that business, but when I talk to people in that industry, I'm like, you know, when I first became mayor, they thought I was going to be a pushover. They're like, they didn't know you. Because sometimes I walk in and I want to fight with somebody, you know. There's this one nice man. I serve on the board of the Louisiana HPBA with him.
That's the Thoroughbred Association.
Louisiana Horsemen's Benevolent Protective.
Okay.
Represents all the racehorse owners and trainers in the state. And I'm currently the vice president and whatever, you know, whatever. And I've been on that. I can read the financial statements. They need me to do the part I do. Mm-hmm. When it comes to what horses should be entered in the surface of the track and all those kind of things, there are plenty of people on those boards that know everything about it. Mm-hmm. They don't need me for that. But they need somebody to do the business side of it and who understands our industry and then how it translates to those things. Right. So anyway, that's what I do. And so I walked into one meeting and Mr. Andy Leggio was sitting there and he's just, you know, really nice man. And I said, you know, I come over here to fight with y'all. I ain't got no husband. He, oh, come on, baby. You got to cut us some slack today.
Old school.
Yeah.
You know, school.
Cut us some slack today. Yeah. But sometimes I like to fight just to fight. So.
Well, Stemmons, I mean, Stemmons has been around forever, right? It's known as the horse supply specialist. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up riding? Did you have your own
horse? Oh, no. I don't ride at all.
You don't ride at all?
I haven't ridden a horse in probably 35 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The horses I have, my big behind, can I get on? I have race horses, okay? They don't want my big behind on them. I got to keep them sound. No, I don't ride.
Give me a moment.
Oh, no, I don't have those.
But you did ride when you were young.
When we were young, we did.
I just picture you having a good, like, barrel racing or something.
Oh, no.
You're so spirited.
I had one. My dad and one of his friends, Mr. Lee Young, decided that Shalene, Mr. Lee's daughter, and I needed to rodeo. One rodeo.
Really?
Because, you know, everybody arrives with the truck and trailer at the rodeo, and we get in with the 18-wheelers, you know, because that's the kind of trucks and trailers we had. So we arrive at the rodeo.
You had a cowboy hat, like a good hat?
Oh, yeah, I had the whole outfit, you know. I like the outfit. I was really into the outfit. So they unload the horse, and of course, the horse I'm riding is Martha Josie, who is one of the best barrel racers ever. Oh. Is her retired horse, Santa Claus, because that was one of my daddy's friends. And if I was going to do that, well, then he was going to get me a horse, you see. So Shalene has as equally fancy of a rodeo horse as me because that's our daddies do that. And even now, my daddy loves when it's time for the National Finals Rodeo because he'll always get calls from different people saying, I got a problem with this horse. What do I do? Because they need those racehorse products and skills to get something ready and fixed quickly. And
where is that held? That's
Las Vegas.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Big deal every year.
Very big.
Yeah. Big deal. Kid from Carol Crow finished third in the world in rock riding. But anyway, that's a whole nother subject. But anyway, I forgot what I was talking about. But oh yeah, rodeo
the race,
career.
Yeah.
So
the barrel race.
Shalene and I arrive at the rodeo and we do the grand entry and big deal. Okay. And then we talking, okay? And they're like, it's time for you to ride. Oh, no, we busy, okay? And after that, they told us, just take the car to the rodeo, okay? Just take the car. Y'all are not interested because all we were interested is looking at the little boys.
So racehorses is what you're really into.
Yeah, racehorses.
Where do they compete?
All the tracks in the state. I have one running Saturday, opening day at Evangeline Downs.
Oh, gosh. Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
We'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I have a couple of little babies. And anyway, I'm excited.
Well, I wanted people to know more about you because you bring that same spunk and spirit of your growing up years and you're still a businesswoman with Stemmons and other things, but you bring this to your role as mayor. Yeah. Wanted to be mayor.
Mayor. This is something I love what I do. Mm-hmm. I think it's, for me, it's the perfect job for me because, you know, I get to do so many different things kind of all at one time. But I have a great group of people I work with every day. I can't praise them enough, how wonderful they all are. And we just have lots of projects going on. Carol Crow is a blessed town. We have great businesses there. We want to bring in more businesses. We're a community on the grow, mostly because I see people moving into Carol Crow, but not from necessarily other states.
Right.
They're from south. They're moving north, just the property and, you know, homeowners insurances, and those kinds of things. They need to move north. And if you're going to go north, you're going to go toward Lafayette and you end up in Calgary because it's a great spot.
It's a perfect spot.
It's a perfect spot.
I used to work, you know, with Upper Lafayette Economic Development, and the growth that Karen Crow has seen over the past 20 years, really past 15 years, has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought all the big
outfits
that have moved in, especially Amazon, but to have Walmart and Super One and then all the new rooftops coming in, if you want to talk about that. I mean, it's going to transform Karen Crow.
1,400 homes in active developments currently in the city of Karen Crow.
In the city.
In the city of Karen Crow. That's huge growth.
It's huge growth for any community.
For any community.
Like around us.
And so, not sure if it's good or bad, but it has given a pause. Interest rates, you know, all of those things, the economy, that kind of stuff, has kind of given a pause to all of those houses being built in the city of Karen Crow. We have a lot of infrastructure that we have to build and do to make it work. Sewer plant. I mean, all of that stuff is not pretty to talk about,
but it's all necessary.
Sewer plants, replace old water lines. Streets, replace old gas lines. There's, you know, drainage. You have all of that. Although drainage seems like it's pretty decent right now. We have some issues. The Coulee Mean, but if we fix our part, it brings water faster in Lafayette. So we're kind of, there was kind of a gentleman's agreement before I got in to kind of let that be, you know, because it's not going in homes in Karen Crow. So just to allow that to stay the way it is because it would flood people further south.
Right. So how do people feel in Karen Crow? This is drastic change, right, to have this
There are some growing pains to that. Ira and University is probably the intersection that needs a light, and DOTD. They're not my friends. They don't like me. But DOTD says that we have to have more traffic there.
Where is that? Where is that
Ira
street?
And University is where you're going down University, and there's Melanson Funeral Home, like kind of across from the donut place. Then you keep going past Karen Crow Middle, and then there's a second, older Melanson Funeral Home. That's Ira Street.
Okay.
And then a little further up is Veterans to the right, which goes to
back
the interstate.
Goes
back to I-49. And so there are people who are leaving Ira and want to make a left and get to Veterans. And if you're trying to make a left there, you may sit there for 20 minutes trying to make that left, and so you back up traffic behind you.
Yeah, and you cause accidents. Well, at some point, you have to turn.
When it starts backing up, there's a right turn lane. And honestly, if I'm driving in that area, I get in the right turn lane, I make a right, I make a left on Jack Street, I make a left on Church Street, and I'm at Veterans.
Yeah.
You know, it's not hard to make the loop, you know. But once they start stacking up, once there's four or five cars in a row, you can't get to that right turn lane. Mm-hmm. So then traffic is it just keeps backing up.
Yeah.
And you just sit there trying to make a left
and
don't realize that behind you, nobody else can move, you know. And people want to make a left.
You and I have spoken before with the growing population. Really, it's University and I-49, you know, the thruway where people get, most of them are probably going to Lafayette or that region.
Right. Yeah, and you need to move traffic around.
Yeah.
You know, that's the issue is you need to move people around. And there are lots of cross streets that go from east to west, but they're only, you know, I-49 and University. And then on the far side, we have Moss Street off of Hector Conley. So there's only really three that go north-south. So that seems to be where the problems are. But anyway.
Well, there was a new development, though, about the Louisiana Avenue extension opening up at Glory Switch with the roundabout.
Yes.
That's going to be really—
That'll be really nice when
game
it's
changer.
Done. I'm excited.
What are
I'm
they
excited.
Projecting that? Like, how long will all that take?
A year or so. There's they have to cross a coulee, and they have to cast in place the concrete jar.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a pre-made one that they can just slip in. You know?
Right.
So that's what's going to take a good bit of time. Plus, you know, build the road.
you know where Northwood United Methodist is, mm-hmm, at Glory Switch and Moss. We went to church there for years, and mm-hmm, it's just, it amazes me at the growth, mm-hmm, but also the need for all this.
Oh, yeah. There's needs to move people all around. And I mean, you know the area off of 1252, mm-hmm, you know, all of those people, they end up on that service road right by Super One, and that, they call it a roundabout, but I call it a traca because it's set off and it's stupid.
You'll have to spell that for me.
I know, it's a mess. But I don't know who designed it, but— mm-hmm.
It is hard. It's so close to the street, too.
I always
veterans.
Say they were smoking dope when they did that, yeah. But I didn't, I probably shouldn't say that because that's not nice, but— But whoever made it up was really dreaming of something, and it uh-huh. didn't make any sense.
And
it
now just it's doesn't. There. Yeah.
And so now you have traffic. You have all the people off of 1252 crossing over and then getting mm-hmm. on that service road and then they end up there. And so either they have to, you know, there's not much space.
Right.
So it's not like it was set back. It's just kind of a crazy design.
But at the same time, if anybody wants to really see beautiful countryside, go down 1252,
that's the place to go.
Kidder Road and yeah. the whole area. Mm-hmm. It's just gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful homes mm-hmm. and trees and everything.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell too many people about that. Yeah, we kind of try to keep that as a secret.
Well, Kelly, my youngest, used to ride. We would come mm-hmm. by at Stemmons, but she rode not only at the Academy, but at, I think it's closed now, Woodland Hills out on Blue Ridge. Yeah. I don't know if they're mm-hmm. still open, but that whole area is really gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
Gorgeous countryside. Mm-hmm. Talk about, if you will, some of the fun things going on in Karen Crow. I know that Macready Show
back up and running. We do 7 shows in the, well, so first of all, Macready means Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So this is on Wednesdays, and we do 7 in the spring and 7 in the fall.
At Pelican Park.
At Pelican Park. There's a stage on the backside, and you sit up on the little hill mm-hmm. and watch the – it's fun.
It's fun.
It's a great event.
And free food. I mean, there's always
usually somebody cooks. If somebody sponsors it, they cook for the crowd.
Great bands.
Bands are great. And because it's a Wednesday, they're happy to do it for our reduced rate that we can afford. So – but it's a lot of fun. It's mm-hmm. a great event. We have great sponsors. So it's really a fun event for everybody. So
I don't know if everybody's been out there to Pelican Park, but there's a walking path. There's softball fields.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It's beautiful.
It's really pretty back there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then we're making we're going to have a festival in Karen Crow, the Karen Crow Sabon Seasoning Festival.
Oh, yeah. When is that going to happen?
In November. So the second weekend in November. So I'm lucky Purvis Morrison, who was mm-hmm. the mayor of Scott, he was the founder of the Boudin Festival.
Yeah.
And so he is CAO in Karen Crow. So it was very easy to uh-huh. get a whole lot of information. So,
where will that be held?
At Pelican Park.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a cook-off or just
we are going to do, there'll be a seasoning taste. Of course, there'll be bands, mm-hmm. carnival, lots of, you know, arts and crafts, a pageant. We're going to do all of the components. Yeah. But there's going to be a seasoning taste-off.
Oh.
So we haven't decided on prices yet, but you'll be able to enter into the seasoning taste-off mm-hmm. if you make your own seasoning. And, you know, I think if you go see somebody at Targhill, you can have a seasoning. But then a couple $100, whatever, to
enter.
Participate.
Yeah.
And then you can sell your seasoning to recoup your money. Mm-hmm. Then you'll have some little cups of seasoning, and people will go around. They'll pay $5 to taste, and they'll get a platter of fries.
Oh, nice.
And so you just pick your fries and, mm-hmm. and you pick your seasonings, and then you get 2 tokens to vote, and then
so the
somebody
crowd
will
votes.
Be the crowd votes on the best seasoning.
Uh-huh.
So I'm excited about that. That's
going to
be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
And y'all just finished, I saw Brunch and Beats.
Yes.
That was earlier this year.
Yes.
Because last year it was
later
hot.
And it was so hot.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
It was fun, though.
Brunch and Beats in the streets with my peeps. So we combined our Easter event and uh-huh. the car show and the cook-off that we did with Brunch and Beats because it was so hot. The first
was that in
time
June?
We did. It was in June. The first weekend in June. And it
so
was
much
so
fun.
It was fun. It was great.
All the barbecue pits and all, that was mm-hmm. hot.
It was hot.
Yeah.
Hot, hot.
You but had anyways, a lot of cars this year? Did people?
It was great. Uh-huh. Lots of cars. The brunch cook-off was very, very successful. We raised money again. We did a Kenyana Veterans Alliance.
Nice.
That was when you bought your wristbands to taste, it was to benefit a Kenyana Veterans Alliance. So I'm excited about that. We had lots of stuff for the kids to do, arts and crafts. The kids were out there from Cancro High helping with all of that. And then everybody went to Cancro Catholic, walked the whole community, walked down the street, crossed the university, went to Cancro Catholic, and we had a big Easter egg hunt sponsored by the Kiwanis.
Yeah.
So it was a great event. Great. Yeah.
So, I'm trying to think if there's other things. I want to give a shout out to the Karen Crow Business Association.
Yes. And they have done a, there's been a kind of a, I don't want to say a revitalization. I want to say that the elders in the Karen Crow Business Association said that it was time for the young folks to step up.
Take this baton.
And so that's kind of what has happened. And there's lots of guidance from the elders. And the young people have stepped up. And we're excited about it.
Good.
Yeah. It's a great group.
It really is.
And they're doing more.
They do so much.
You know, they're doing so much more and going to add more to it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great. And I think that that's kind of what's... What's happening in Karen Crow is that we take what we have and appreciate what it is that we have and then add to it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we're doing a lot of that right now in Karen Crow.
I was sad to hear that Charlie Brunt passed away.
Such a great
Speaking
guy.
Of one of the elders. Yeah, and he wasn't old.
No, not
died
at
too
all.
Young.
Not at all. Way too young.
Right.
Nice man. Really nice man.
Right. Are there term limits in Karen Crow, or can you serve?
No, actually, in Karen Crow,
till you become an elder.
I guess that one day I'll be an elder. I guess,
but I kind of doubt it.
So, in Karen Crow was founded in 1905, and I am only the eighth mayor of Karen Crow. So there's not a, historically, there's not been big turnover in the mayor's seat, either the chief of police or any of those. Mm-hmm. You know, Karen Crow has a history of being very diverse. We have had African-Americans on our council since the 70s, so we don't do districts. We still vote at large, which I think is a blessing to any small town. And then the first woman chief of police was in the city of Karen Crow.
When was that? Do you know?
In the 70s, Ms. Jerry Stutes. Her husband had been the chief of police, and she would help him a lot. And so when he passed away, it was rather sudden, if I remember correctly. It was just decided, well, she's doing it. Just let her keep on. And
Was so Carlos her son?
Carlos No. Jerry Arsenault. She was an Arsenault.
Okay, an Arsenault.
Yeah. Jerry Arsenault.
Okay.
And then after her was Timmy Duyon, then Carlos, and then now David Anderson.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Gosh. Where do you see Karen Crow being in 5 or 10 years? Do you have a vision of what that looks like?
I do. I think that Karen Crow continues the way it is. I think that we have all this development and kind of the outside world on the interstate. And then when you're in town, it's more like a small town. And that's, I think, what's wonderful about it, because that's really is what Karen Crow is. You have the best of both worlds, and that's what I see. You know, I just see more growth. Hopefully we can get our infrastructure caught up. The process of building anything takes absolutely forever for government, and that is frustrating for me. And I express my frustration regularly, but there's just some things that things need to be streamlined. You know, there's a whole lot of things that take forever.
So, Charlotte, you've talked about your professional life. Mm-hmm. Would you share some about your family? I know you're a proud mom of three children.
I have three kids. So I've been a single mother 3 times over. It was not the plan, but it is what it is. My kids are my whole world. I have a son, Derek, and he's 34, and he does pipeline. He's in that industry. I don't understand all what he does. So he does bidding and all kind of stuff, plant shutdowns, and I don't really understand all of it, so I'm not going to talk about it because I don't know. He's not married. He's single.
And watch out, girls.
I'm always looking for me a good daughter-in-law, but, you know, we'll see how that works. I'm sure if he heard this, he would be like, I'm going to shut up. And then I have a daughter, Anna Camille. She is in college at Seton Hall in New Jersey. And she's got a year left. She's majoring in psychology. And I'm very proud of her. And then my littlest one is Eva. And she's still at home. Nice. She works in the family business. And she was Mardi Gras queen. She was a queen of the crew of Karen Crow Big.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun with that. Yeah. So. Yeah, so I love my little babies. I think they're wonderful, but they're grown now. So
yeah, it goes they don't really so fast.
Need me. They don't really need me anymore.
I don't know. I think you always need your mom.
I guess you do. I guess that they will call me when they need something, you know. So I just have to wait for those times, you know.
With you growing up in politics, do you see any interest from them in watching you now serve as a public servant?
I don't know. Like Anna Camille was looking at internships. I'm like, well, you know, if you were interested in this, maybe I could call so-and-so and see what they have. And I got shut down. So I'm assuming no for her. Eva's kind of scary. So maybe she would like that.
The 19-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's very much, she hates when I say this, but she's got my daddy's personality. So good luck to the world. She loves me. Y'all got problems. I don't know. But yeah, Eva's great. But and I know Derek is definitely not interested in politics at all. So he doesn't like that many people. So
well, you serve as such a great example of, and you are a public servant. As I was saying at the beginning when I introduced you, I see you at so many events. There's so many things I don't even know that you do, and I'll see you on social media. You really
are there. I try.
I
like it. And it gives me something to, well, honestly, it gives me something to do. My kids are grown. I've worked in a business. I've been there 35 years. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a family business and in an industry that I've been in my entire life. And this is all kind of different for me. So I like it. You know, I get to go and see what all's going on.
Right.
I enjoy that.
Right.
You know.
Well, we've been here with Jason Secor. Jason, thank you for recording us today. And I see you've taken some notes. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I do have a couple.
Okay.
First of all, thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you
you're
for
so
having
much,
me.
You're so much fun. Do you see yourself as a politician?
No, not at all.
I didn't think so.
Uh-uh. Okay. No, I'm not good at telling people what they want to hear. Don't do it. It's not my style. If that's what you were looking for, I'm not your girl. I kind of joked that when I ran the last time, if I didn't win, I was going to get me a condo in Gulf Shores and go every other weekend. So, not during the summer, of course. I'm going to make the money and then go for free the rest of the year. But so my joke is, well, if they don't like what I do, I'll get me a condo. And then it's somebody else's problem, but I like the work. I like what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I enjoy what I'm doing. I mean, I probably make some people crazy, but that's okay.
Well, they know where you stand.
They know where
I
stand.
That you're representing.
Oh, yeah. And I'm what you would call, I know that this is a buzzword and I don't like political buzzwords, but I don't say I'm conservative. I say I'm cheap. I coupon, so if something costs X, I'm thinking we need to do it. I'm a single mother. My kids ate Hamburger Helper. We were fine, So it's really good. But a lot of things that are expenses of government, I don't approve of that excessive spending. And that's been my problem with government,
Okay.
And so I scream at people because they cost too much money.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they need that.
It's whatever. So.
So you grew up around this. So I can't imagine there's a whole lot of surprises that came in front of you. But what kind of difficulties do you have as being mayor that maybe you didn't see?
So I'm very blessed that 20 some odd years ago, I was mayor pro temp in Karen Crow. Tommy Augel was mayor, and he was running for state representative at the time. And so I got to do a lot of things. So I knew I could be mayor because I had done the mayor jobs as a fill-in for him when necessary. So that's how I knew I could do the job. But the quantity of problems and issues that go on in government today from 20 years ago is 10 times what I didn't think there were this many different pieces, moving pieces. There's a lot of moving pieces.
Is it due to the growth, though?
I think it's due to the growth. And I also think a lot of it has to do with rules and regulations. And, you know, sometimes rules and regulations are not logical because, and I hate to say the good suffer for the bad. And so because somebody did X wrong, they changed all these rules that give you 27 more hoops to jump through. You know, because
to avoid abuse,
to avoid. And I think that that is the reason why public projects cost so much more than private projects.
And take so long.
And take so long. Oh, my God. I am not a patient person.
What's like that whole joke of government red tape?
Well, I mean, there is real red tape.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when. Okay, so when I was mayor pro temp, we had a hurricane come through. So I got a phone call that, Charlotte, we got to pick up all the branches.
Lily. Was it Lily?
No, I think it was one before that. Okay. Anyway, it was a pretty bad one. Yeah. I had to go ride in a fire truck and declare an emergency. It was really fun. You know? It was funny because the chief of police at the time said, Charlotte, you want to call the media? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm in a tank top and pajama pants. I didn't fix myself. I can't call nobody, you know. You can do that. I'm not doing that. But anyway, so we had to pick up all the debris, all the branches and that kind of stuff. And so I get a phone call from somebody saying, Charlotte, you should go with X company. And it was somebody I respected, you know, so called the guy, went through the whole process of doing an emergency meeting to have this declared as our vendor. And it was so much of whatever it was, so much a cubic whatever. So after we do all of that, I find out that somebody was getting it for cheaper. Oh, we have to go back and redo. They're like, oh, you can't do that. Yes, I can. And so we had to go through and cancel the first contract and redo. Now there's you pre-bid it. It all has to be pre-bid, and there's this big red tape to it.
So when there's an emergency,
it's already in place. Because there were people who went out there, and because there was an emergency,
like highway robbery. Exactly.
And I fell for the highway robbery because I don't know how much it costs to pick up a cubic whatever of branches. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. Mm-hmm. And so that was something I learned. But then now you pre-bid all that and all that stuff.
Right.
So there's a lot of paperwork involved in this thing.
I can only imagine. Finally, I always like the hobby question. Assuming you have some sort of free time, what do you like to do in your free time?
So I have some really good friends, and like last night we went out to eat and I visited with my friends, and that I very much enjoy doing. You know, I really don't do much. I hate to say it, but at the end of the day, I'm tired, you know, I sleep well. So, the crazy thing is that a couple years ago, before I ran for mayor this time, I was at work, and then my kids didn't need me anymore because they could drive for themselves, so they didn't need me to move them around. So then I had free time and had to make rules that I couldn't stay at work late more than so many days a week. I had to make myself rules because you will never run out of work. At least people that run out of work, you don't have enough. Okay. I'll never run out of work. You know, I have things to do. I have too much to do. Anyway. So I started making puzzles.
Puzzles?
Oh, okay.
And after a couple of months of making puzzles, I decided I need to find something better to do with my life. So what I did was decide to run for mayor again. Okay. And so this is what I do. I mean, and like you say, I go to everything because you get invited to 100 things, you know, and I put them all on my calendar. And if I don't have anything to do, I go.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to see what other people are doing, and I enjoy it, you know. So I guess that's really what I spend my spare time doing is going to all those things you say I go to, because really I don't have nothing going on at home, and I sure don't want to make puzzles.
Hamburger helper.
Or hamburger helper, whatever. I like to cook. I enjoy cooking. Sundays, pretty much if I can, I'll block Sundays to not leave my house.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's like my day.
The pajama pant
day. Yeah. I call them house cleaning clothes, okay? but I have a lady that cleans my house because I hate to do that. But, you know, I'll move things around in my house and kind of sort things out. And and I like to cook. So I'll decide what I'm going to cook for the week. And then, you know, I still have one at home. So, you know, what you want to eat? And then I'm going to cook that on Sunday. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, again, thank you for coming down here.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah. And Jen, thanks again for letting me ask some questions.
Jason Secor, he makes this so professional.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen
so
that
easy.
Sitting
here. Very good.
We're in the beautiful studios at Raider, and I still can't believe we able
you know,
to
I
take
used to
here.
Come here as a kid
Piccadilly?
Because, you know, it was Piccadilly.
I know.
And we came here as children, and I brought my kids here.
I love
so.
It. And the balloon man, remember
certain nights,
the fireman that did the balloon
part? But I would bring my kids here often, often.
Yeah.
It was just because the food was ready.
It's always good.
You would walk in. They pick what they want, and then you can sit down, and everybody eat, and we visit, and that kind of thing. It was great.
But when you walk in now, you would never think this used to be Piccadilly. It's a for people that haven't seen it, it's a huge, open office space.
It's a beautiful
gorgeous.
Office space, yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Jason, thank you so much for making us sound professional.
Oh,
appreciate
you
so much. And I also want to thank our listeners. Thank you for your loyal support. If you haven't subscribed yet, please, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Or you can go to discoverlafayette.net and find Charlotte Clavier's interview along with about 370 others. We're very proud of the archive of interesting and successful people. I also want to thank our sponsors who make the show possible. Of course, Raider, Ochsner, Lafayette General, and ViMed. Thank you for all you do to support Discover Lafayette. This is Jan Swift. Thank you for listening.